You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Tuesday, January 4th, 2020. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. If it's Tuesday, that can mean only one thing. It's gray and crappy in the Gem City, and Dwayne Long is here to join us. Dwayne, it was a late night. We saw Ohio native Joe Burrow crown arguably the greatest season in college football history. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm a bit astounded. As many times as I've seen Joe Burrow this year in particular, I watched him last year too. I mean, there's one name that comes to mind when I watch this kid play the game: Joe Montana. And I'm gonna tell you why. I see a kid that's he's not big, but he's big enough. He's not fast, but he's fast enough. Doesn't have a big arm, but he's got a big enough arm. And then he's got this vision and this accuracy and this ability to see the field. He's just hard to deal with. I mean, he makes great decisions, and he puts the ball where it needs to be. He finds the right guy and, you know, hits him between the eyes with the ball. You know, it's just phenomenal to watch him play, and that's what he reminds me of. You know, just not the most physically gifted, but physically gifted enough. Montana was that way. Got around, moved around, hurt you with his feet sometimes, and that's what I see with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's a great comparison for those who are around my age, with, you know, pushing 50. Good Lord. Joe Montana is the gold standard, I think. Until Brady, it was kind of accepted that Montana was the best quarterback. And I think it's hard to argue with what you're saying. When you look back at Burrow's season, Dane Brugler said this, he never struggled, ever. Go back and look at it. He never struggled the whole season. I don't know if I've ever seen someone have a better stretch of games in terms of, I do not remember him making a mistake. I mean, if you look at his numbers from last night, 31 of 49, 463, 5 touchdowns, no picks. That wasn't even an above average game for him. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was under 50% passing, a QBR of 38.1. I'll tell you something funny. I listen to a Washington radio station when I wake up, and this morning they were discussing what happens if Cincinnati takes Chase Young and they have to decide between Joe Burrow or sticking with Dwayne Haskins. So the perspective from an Ohioan is different than everyone else, but it's definitely interesting. What is your vibe on Ohio State now, having seen Clemson go in there and take a punch? Yes, we're going to drop into hypotheticals here. How do you think Ohio State would have fared against LSU?
Far better, regardless of how good Joe Burrow looked. I don't know his name. It doesn't matter, because Buckeye fans wouldn't know it anyway. Number 8 for Clemson brought a whole new meaning to the word toast. He got burnt so badly. He got burnt. He gave up 2 touchdown passes and at least 3 other big plays, one in a running game, with an absolutely awful effort on a guy that was about to make about a 25-yard run. He was just terrible. I know he wasn't playing against number 1, who was really an excellent receiver. The second half, I don't know if I remember seeing him on the field. He was terrible. Our cornerbacks would have done such a better job against the LSU receivers. They put number 1 on number 1, and he still burnt him. Our cornerbacks are going, one is going at least top 10, if not top 5, and the other one, it's going to be a surprise to everyone if he drops out of the first round. We would have done much better. I think we could have gotten more pressure on him, even though Clemson did a pretty good job. Burrow gets away. He stays calm, and you never see this kid rattled. His feathers are never ruffled, and he just continues to make plays, whether it's with his arm or with his feet. Doesn't make mistakes, doesn't make bad decisions, but I still think we do a better job against them. I also think with our running game, we could have – one of the things would have been – I don't need to tell you this, Dan. You got a guy like that, you keep him on the sideline. That's where you want him. We would have run the ball better, worked more clock, gave him less possessions.
Those are the two things I was going to mention. I do think Ohio State proved they could run the ball on any football team in America, not playing in the NFL, and they could probably do it against a few of them. Secondly, without question, the most overrated and poorly done job by all the media heading into this playoff was the discussion of Clemson's receivers versus everybody else. That was supposed to be the mountain no one could climb. I thought Ohio State's defensive backs thoroughly outplayed them, and I wasn't that impressed with Clemson's receivers last night. So I would have taken the attack Ohio State had in the air and LSU's in the air, obviously. I will say this, the scheme LSU used was brilliant. I did feel like he had somewhere to go almost at all times. I'm not sure I've seen an offense more connected than the LSU offense was. They were very smooth. Everybody was on the same page. A lot of chaos in there, yet the receivers seemed to be on point with Burrow at all times. Just a very impressive effort. Wish Joe the best of luck. He will be moving right here near the Gem City. We give Joe kudos. Shocker, he's from Ohio. When we come back, talk a little Cruton.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
All right, Dwayne, in the past week since you were on last, Ohio State added Donovan Jackson, the number one rated offensive guard in the class of 2021 from Episcopal High School in Bel Air, Texas, just outside Houston. This is a big, strong human being. He looks like a future pro. Your impressions of Jackson and then kind of how he fits into the whole recruiting of the offensive line in 2021.
Well, I think that the big mistake is locking him in at guard. I mentioned this last week. You know, you want height mostly because it translates into length, and that's you want long guys out on the edges, whether on defense at end or tackle on offense. You want them long. And like I said, you're – height is usually a good indicator of length, and that's just not the case with Jackson. He's a long arm kid. He's, you know, and if you've got to only have one, you'd rather have length than height. And he's long enough to be a tackle, and he moves. He moves like a tackle. He's just got great athleticism. I mean, this when he runs. He looks like a sprinter. Just goes. And then when the contact is about to happen, watch out. There's going to be a real serious collision. Maybe that's another reason why they got him at guard. He is just such a destructive force. He really gets after people. I say that, you know, a lineman liking to play football, you see it in the fact that he likes being destructive. This kid just goes after people like they owe him money. So maybe that's another reason why they've got him at a guard. I absolutely believe this kid could play tackle. You know, we want J.C. Latham to be the other side of Ben Christensen. Not Ben, what's his kid's name? Chrisman. And, you know, we got Ben Chrisman. We've got the looking at Latham as a bookend tackle. We could have him right now with Jackson. This kid is just so – I love watching him. I love watching him play the game. And his athleticism and just his joy at really destroying people. I think we got a really special one. Like you said, I think we're looking at an NFL football player there. And overall, I just love that we're really settling down and recruiting tackle bodies, guys that can move. If you got tackles, you got guards, because every tackle can play guard. It's just the other way around, it just doesn't really work out real well. Guards trying to step out the tackle, handle speed on the edge, it just usually doesn't work out well. So I think we could be looking at three tackles here, because I think we're in really good shape with Latham. It's looking good, especially with the hauls we've had the last 2 years. We got some great looking kids in this in the WAC right now, and look at how important it was, Dan. The inside of our offensive line was, my Lord, these guys were just destroying people, and I think that we can see it again, because I think Harry Miller is going to step in probably at guard. I would think that they would let him have a year as an apprentice beside Myers, who's going to be the highest-rated center to come off the board in a while. I'm telling you, you just don't see guys like that. Centers are usually smaller guys. They're 6'2", 6'3", and more often than not, they're under 300 pounds. But you've got a 6'5", 6'6", center who gets out to the second level like a much smaller guy, and is he ever destructive? So, just plug another guy in there for Jonah Jackson. I believe it's going to be Miller, and start going again.
What I love about what you said there is Myers and Wyatt Davis are both known for being like super smart studier types, so you can expect them to be even better next year, which is hard to fathom considering you can make an argument they were the best center-right guard combo in the country this year. They will be the best next year. That should make things a little bit easier on Harry Miller. Last question. Zach Evans, arguably the top running back in the class, has had one of those recruitments that makes everyone a little weary. It's more done on social media and on the message boards than it seems to be done anywhere else. He was signed with Georgia. He's not going there. He's now a free agent. Would you make a play for Zach Evans at running back?
I would not. There's just, kids get in trouble. Kids do stupid stuff, and I'm all for that. He just keeps doing it. He keeps doing things that put him on the sports page for the wrong reasons. I just got a gut feeling that this kid is going to be not just a kid who messed up, but a kid that's a problem child. Punched a coach? He punched a coach, Dan. He refused to give up the cell phone. It's just all this. And then this thing with Georgia, what was that about? You signed a letter of intent and next day backed out? It's just, there's just something not right there. Here's the thing, though, that just keeps grabbing my attention. His film. This was a bell cow year. You don't see bell cows like you used to. This year, I thought there were three in the country, and he was one of them. He is special, and he's the best of them. As much as I love Bijan Robinson, Evans is even better. Just a little bit, but he's better. It's very special talent. So, you've got to see where the staff is thinking maybe our culture will influence him and get this kid to realize you could be a multimillionaire here in about 3 years if you get your act together, grow up, and realize you just can't act like this. If that happens, wow. If he has that in him to do that, that would be just a topper off a really good class for Ryan Day. He's a special talent. So, I guess that what I would hope is that we're spending as much time as the NCAA will allow with one player to really get to know this kid, find out anything we can about his surroundings, the people around him, because that can have a great impact on how a kid conducts himself. Get him out of that environment. There's a lot of talk about that. I mean, let's look at the Gwynnville kids. Ted Ginn had one driving philosophy: get them out of here, put them in a better situation, and see if they don't thrive. And overwhelmingly, those kids coming out of a bad situation most of the time. they did come down here and do the right thing. They got themselves together. They moved on into a better situation for themselves. And maybe this kid can too. It just scares me. I like what we have in our running back room. I really think we got good backs. It's not like we have to say, okay, let's see if we can influence this kid and improve our team at the same time. I really like our running back room. If I can understand why we're going to go after him, and it sounds like things are working that way, but I wouldn't take the chance, no.
I think it will be better for our website than it will be for the Buckeyes, so I'm not sure how I feel about it. But at this point in time, Ryan Day has earned the benefit of the doubt. If he thinks he can bring Evans in and get it done, I'm all for it. But we have seen what guys who are great players but of suspect character can do to a locker room, and it's not pretty. It's a big call for Day. I'm not sure it's necessary, but it certainly should make having a website more interesting in the next few months. We appreciate Dwayne stopping by. Have a good one, Buck Hunters.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.